I want to talk about a topic that I think is often overlooked, and we'll see in a moment as to why, but I think it's importantly relevant for anybody, no matter what age, no matter what stage of life you're in, when it comes to growth, and when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Everything we're about to say in the beginning here is based on a sikha talk from Reb Chaim Friedlander. Reb Chaim Friedlander is the author of the Siftei Chaim, one of the most esteemed and respected Talmidim of Dessler. This is in the Siftei Chaim, in the beginning of Parsha Shmos. There's a Siftei Chaim in Chumash as well, as in addition to all the Svarim and Luna and things like that in Tefillah. But here, the first piece in Shmos happens to be beautiful. Everything Rabbi Friedlander writes is a Kodesh, but I feel personally this is Kodesh Kodeshim. It's really one of the holiest and most beautiful things that he writes in any of his Svarim. He notes that often we make a mistake when we evaluate other people and ourselves. We often look for big, exciting, flashy, noticeable things. We like to see who is the best speaker, who does the biggest chesed, who makes the most noise, and is the most excited when it comes to serving the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Rabbi Friedlander says that that is, in fact, a terrible, terrible mistake. Because it's not the large checks that people write, or the flashy public displays of chesed, that make a person a great individual and a great servant of Hashem. What we want to show over the course of the next few minutes is that really all it comes down to in life is small actions. Consistent, small actions in Avodas Hashem and serving Hashem and being a good person is far, far, far more important than any other big plan that you may have in your Avodas Hashem going forward for the rest of the year. We'll begin with the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah. The Medrash says, Moshe Hayara, Moshe was a shepherd. Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu nosin gedul la'adam ad shebat kru b'davar katan. Hashem does not give greatness to any person until he first tests you with something small. V'achar kach ma'aleh l'gedula. And then only then, after Hashem sees that you can handle a little bit and you act correctly by the small things, will Hashem then give you something great as well. Harei l'cha shnei gedoli olam. Let me tell you about two great gedolim, says the Medrash. Shabitka the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'davar katan, v'nimtzu ne'amar ma'alem l'gedula. And then Hashem checked them something small. That closes?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yes?
Yeah.
Hashem checked them with something small and then made them great. The first example, says the Medrash, is the youngest of his family, someone considered to be a person who would never amount to anything, who was the individual who was scorned by his brothers and his father, who thought nothing would accomplish for him, and that's David HaMelech. Badak leDavid b'tzom below nagam ala b'midbar. U'archika min ha'geza. He said, first Hashem checked David when it came to his sheep, that he would not misuse them or steal them in the midbar. Shechein Eliyah, David's older brother, Omer leDavid, he told him, V'al mishna tashka ma'at ha'tzom ve'hineh b'midbar. He says, you're supposed to be out in the field with your little sheep. What are you doing over here by the army? Malamichai Adav Mekayim HaMishnah. Adav fulfilled the Mishnah. Ein Megavim Behema Dach of Eretz Yisrael. There is a mitzvah in the Torah, a Darabanan, sorry. There's a rabbinic mitzvah. You can't grow small animals in Eretz Yisrael near grass, because they may come from the grass and take other people's property. What's to discuss about this nowadays? So David took the sheep out to the midbar, out to the desert, where there was nobody else's property. David was so careful about the property of other people. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that David was so exact to make sure that he didn't take his animals and bring them to a place where they would eat other people's food, Hashem said, David's the guy. I know that David is going to be Melech Yisrael because he's so sensitive in the small things about protecting other people's property. Do you park in a spot that's not for you? The same thing as David HaMelech over here. Do you, borrow somebody's item when they're not looking? They're not going to know at the end of the day anyway. If you're careful in those small things, so says Hashem, I have great plans for you. Number two. V'chein b'moshe hu omer, it says by Moshe, even in this week's parasha. V'ina agezat son achar midbar, he took the sheep out to the desert. Lotziyam min agezal, again, to make sure, as we all know, that they would not go and partake of other people's food. And Hashem chose Moshe to lead Klal Yisrael. Why? Because he was careful about small things. He was careful about the details. There's another medrash. Ulami bochin the tzaddik. And how does Hashem check the tzaddikim? Hashem tzaddik yivchar. And they tell the following story. What is with the sheep? Why come everybody in the Torah who's a tzaddik is with sheep all the time? Hashem takes out the small people and he sends them out to be shepherds. Kadish Yeru Esaf Harach, to go and find the proper place to bring them in order to check on the sheep. Moshe lo bachnu l'kadosh baruch hu l'bitzon. Moshe was tested by Hashem with sheep. Amar Rabbi Zeinu, our rabbis tell us. Kishaya Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom ro etzon Rashi Yisrael b'midbar. When Moshe was taking care of the sheep of Yisro, his father-in-law, the Midbar, what happened? One little sheep ran away from Moshe. And Moshe told the other sheep, stay here, don't go anywhere, I gotta go get him. And he turns, and he runs after the sheep, and the little sheep is running. And Moshe is running, and the sheep is running, and Moshe is running, and the sheep is running, and Moshe is running. And Moshe is saying, what is going on? I need to get that sheep back. And finally, the sheep stops at a body of water, at a brook, to drink something. And Moshe sees that the sheep was not being disrespectful. It wasn't being chosmetic. It saw that it was thirsty. It wanted something to drink. So what did Moshe do? Says the Medrash, I didn't realize you were running because you were so thirsty, said Moshe. You are tired. Here, Moshe didn't just let the sheep drink water. After it was done drinking, he picked the sheep up and put it on his shoulder and carried the sheep back to the rest of the other sheep. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yesh Lecha Rachim L'Av Tzono Shabbas V'Dam, you take such beautiful care of the sheep of flesh and blood. Kach Hayach, I swear, Atatira Tzono Yisrael, you will guard my sheep, says Hashem to Moshe. If you can care so much about that little animal, that you can care about my sheep. U'Moshe HaRoa, and because Moshe was a Roa, because he was a shepherd. Moshe was not picked to be the leader of Klal Yisrael because he went on a fantastic summer program and he went on some leadership seminar and he had tremendous speaking abilities and because he was really exciting and the best madricha and super, super entertaining. Moshe was picked to be the leader of Klal Yisrael because he was nice to sheep. That was it. Because he was nice to sheep, he was picked for the most important job in the history of the Jewish people. Indication of his ability to care for others and to be no sibol chavero, literally carrying a sheep on his shoulders. And Rashi says, Vayar b'sivlosam in the Sukh Sparsha. Moshe went out to see their difficulties. Nasa ena b'libo lios mietzalem. He went and said, what is with the Jewish people? I need to feel their pain. I want to know what's going on with them. Because he cared about other people that nobody else cared about. The altar of Kelim. We know that Rabbi Solanter had three major talmidim. He had three major talmidim. In the subsequent generation afterwards, there were the altar of Slobodka, the altar of Kelm, and the altar of Mevarek. The altar of Slobodka promoted the idea of godless Adam, the greatness of a human being. If you understand how great you are, then you'll be able to overcome your Tzahara and see what Hashem has in store with you. And the altar of Mevarek was a great teacher of emes and being honest with yourself, brutally honest. They tell crazy stories about what went on in the Vark and people would rip each other to shreds in order to break them down and build them up. And Kelm was about the sense of what is calm and right and just. They tell amazing stories about Kelm, how a man came to a bris milah in Kelm one year and he came with his cane. And after he left, he forgot his cane there. And when he came back to Kelm 5 years later, his walking stick, his cane, was still there, only being moved every week to be dusted so it wouldn't get messy and put back in the same exact spot. In Kelm, they were medactic in midos and measuring and being very, very careful. And says the altar of Kelm, why did it take so long for Moshe to show his leadership credentials? Didn't he already go out to the palace to be Nozul El Chavero? How come Hashem, when he saw Moshe go out to the Jews in Mitzrayim with their back-breaking labor, how come Moshe didn't say, oh, there's my man right there. He's out there, picking up bricks, I don't know if you saw the Ten Commandments, but in the Ten Commandments, so Charles Heston, so he goes out, and he's doing the work, and they're pulling him away, no, you're the son of the king, you can't go there, and he says, no, I have to be with my people. So, shouldn't that have been enough? No? To Kasha, no? Why do you have to wait for sheep? How come that moment when he's vayar v'siplosam and he wanted to see the Jewish people, wasn't that enough to make him the leader of the Jewish people? See, Al-Sharon Kalm explains that great big actions don't tell you about a person. If a person saves someone else's life or helps someone who's in trouble, we all know that person stepped up to help others in need. And it happens that people find themselves to take extraordinary efforts with other people. We know stories about, you know, unfortunately, the car rolls over a kid, and the mother, who's 5'2 and weighs, you know, 100 pounds, has superhuman strength, and she lifts up the car, and the kid rolls out, and he's fine. Where did that come from? Because in extraordinary moments, for extraordinary needs, you can accomplish extraordinary things. Duh. Okay. Moshe saw the Jewish people being beaten. He said, this is terrible. He said, this is an amazing situation. I need to go. I'm going to go out. Imagine the son of the king of Paro, is going out and he's with the Jewish people. He's making a scene. People are seeing what's going on. He's trying to be with them. It's a big to-do. It's a big show. So says Hashem, that doesn't tell me about Moshe. It doesn't tell me about who he is. When he goes and does a big chesed, he stands in front of a big room and does an amazing thing. That doesn't tell me about the character of who he is. But sheep tell me about who Moshe Rabbeinu is and what he can really be at the end of the day. But even when great actions are even done in private and in an anonymous way, says Rabbi Friedlander, we can still argue that it was the rush and the adrenaline of this major chesed that pushed the person to act. Rabbi Sol Salanter was told once about a hidden tzaddik, and he was asked whether should we reveal that this hidden tzaddik is a tzaddik. Should we go and tell the world, oh, this guy's sitting and learning and he does all this chesed, but he's very private, very tzadua. We should go tell anybody about this individual. So Rabbi Yisrael said that it was better not to reveal the information. And Rabbi Yisrael explained as follows. Because this tzaddik reached his level because he thought of himself as a tzaddik lister. Says Rabbi Yisrael, and says Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, a very, very fine area of midos. Sometimes we give ourselves a kick of adrenaline for a midah because only we know we do it and we feel very special. To me and Hashem. And sometimes you get raised up in your excitement for the mitzvah because, me and Hashem, we have this thing together and I do a special mitzvah for myself. But you're still doing it because you have an adrenaline and a feel of doing something special. And it could be, says Rabbi Yisrael, if we reveal to the world that this man is this hidden tzaddik, what's going to happen to the tzidkus? What's going to happen? He might not do it anymore. He might say, well, now, like, I've been found out. So that takes away half the excitement anymore. Big actions don't tell us about the shleimus of a person. And we can see where Moshe learned this from. In the beginning of our parsha again, Paro decrees on the Jewish babies that they need to be thrown where? Before that, sorry. What does he tell the midwives? What do you have to do with the babies? You have to kill them. You have to kill all the boys. And who is Moshe? Who are the midwives in this case? Rabua, the mother and sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah tells us two things about Shifra and Pua. First of all is they saved the lives of Jewish babies on the punishment of death. They were prepared to give up their lives to save Jewish children. And that is incredible and should be exalted and lauded, and nobody's questioning that. But then the Torah says, and you know through Rashi, that the names Shifra and Pua, of really Yocheved and Miriam, come to describe the way that they did it. They would be Meshaper, they would clean the baby, and they would Pua, they would coo with the baby, make the baby calm, and make the baby comfortable in this very difficult and trying time. Yet the Torah highlights for them that the essence was their caring of the babies. The Torah does not seem to spend so much time on what they did. It says they feared Hashem, they didn't fear Paro, but there's this whole discussion, Shifra and Pua, says Rav Friedlander. Who cares? Really? They saved Jewish babies who were supposed to be killed by the sword of Paro. But Yasher Kayach, you wipe the baby off. And you sing a lullaby. No, good job, Shifra and Pua. Keep it going. Really? That's the praise? They did the most incredible form of Mesiras Nefesh possible, putting their lives on the line to save Jewish children. But do you know what we care about? Shifra and Pua. They cared for Jewish children. They took care of them. They put the time and effort to those who were weak to make them strong. The essence of Yocheved and Miriam was their sincere care and devotion to every single child. The Mesiras Nefesh and the Big Show and the exemplary Mida of putting yourself on the line is fantastic. But real praise for Shifra and Pua comes from the small things they would do for the Jewish children that made them into truly people who were great. Rav Dessler brings you to sew down in the Mechtam Layom, this is the Chelik Gimel, on page 107. There's a famous Gemara in Rodezara. The Gemara in Rodezara says, Rav Yossi ben Kisva became sick, and Rav Chanina ben Tarajo and his student came to visit him. And Rav Yossi ben Kisva is lying on his bed, not feeling well, and his student is sitting next to the bed, and they're talking and learning, discussing different things going on. And the Rebbe said to his student, Rav Chanina ben Tarajo, "No, Rav Chanina, I heard a rumor that you've been teaching Torah in public, under the eyes of the Romans, while holding the Sefer Torah. Are you out of your mind? If the Romans catch you, killing you will be the least of the worst things they're going to do to you. You should hope that they're just going to kill you and not torture you and make your life and your family's life and everybody you know miserable. You cannot teach Torah in public right now. That's crazy. That's nuts. And you're holding the Sefer Torah, not going to teach Torah, but you're going to do it while holding the Torah in public as well. You cannot do it." Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajo said that Hashem will have Rachman asap. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, "With Ruach HaKodesh, that's not a proper answer, and I have a feeling that you're going to be burnt with that Sefer Torah. I have a nevuah that you and that Sefer Torah are going to have the same end." And he was right. And eventually, as we know, Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajo would be killed with the Torah wrapped around him. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajo asked, "Well, okay, well then what's my chelik in Olam Haba? So let's just skip to the chase. You don't like what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing. I'm going to die. You know I'm going to die. And there's going to be a Kiddush Hashem. So let's get to Tachlis. So what's my Olam Haba? How am I going to end up at the end of the day?" So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna asked him, and he said, "Do you have any episode that characterizes you, that really brings out the essence of who you are?" So Rabbi Chanina thought for a second, and he's stroking his beard. His right hand is stroking his beard. His left hand is stroking his beard. He's thinking. He's racking his brains. He said, I got it. I know what it is. He said that one year, we were collecting money for Purim, and I mistakenly thought that it was regular tzedakah. And I gave the Purim money to the regular tzedakah money. And later, know what I did? I went back, and I gave all of that money again for the Purim money. So I essentially collected all thousands of dollars for tzedakah. I gave it to the wrong tzedakah, and then I went and I raised new money again to give it to the right tzedakah. And that is what I did. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna became very, very emotional. He was overwhelmed, he was crying, and he said, "I wish I had shared the chelik in Olam Haba just like you." So if Dessler is bewildered by the exchange, as all of you should be, what's the problem? What's the problem? He taught Torah in public and was ready to be Moser Nefesh and give up his life. And he's like, "Oh, I don't know what I did. I'm not sure. I can't think of anything." And his rep is like, "Oh, yeah, I don't know. Can you think of anything else?" It is the most strange conversation. Anybody with two eyes and ears can figure out what his great zechus is. What is so exciting over here? And the same is for the Talmud, the same is for the Rebbe. You know, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna, who we're talking about, refused to move to a city that was not exceedingly great in Torah. Even for a king's ransom, they offered him billions of dollars to move to out of town, to some place where there's no Torah. And he said, "I don't want to go out. I only want to stay in a city that only has Torah." So this is a man who values Torah, who knows what it means to learn and to teach Torah, and still is like, "Oh, I can't think what's so great about what you did. Can anybody else think of anything?" And they come to this story about Purim and Tzedakah. Very, very strange. So the answer, as you already know by now, is that Yossi ben Kisma understood what makes people truly great. From this story, we learn a powerful lesson. Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajo had accomplished big, big things. You get it, big things. In the time of this Gzeira. But he was only assured Olam Haba because of his small acts. That's the only thing that got him there. The small things indicate his entire being was committed to Avodas Hashem. Big things might not necessarily be done for the proper lishma reasons. They may come for ulterior motives. There may be a tinge of other reasons involved. Kavod. Everybody likes kavod, right? Everybody likes reward. Everybody likes a bit of kavod. I don't care if you're an 85-year-old Rosh Yeshiva or an 18-year-old girl. Everybody likes kavod. So you do a mitzvah, whether it ranges from a tremendous stress of giving a kidney, or ranges from, you know, standing up for somebody in public and making a statement, or doing something that's a big tzedakah and you run a marathon, whatever it is. Yes, it's true you did a chesed, but beinenu, between you and me, we all know there's a bit of kavod about. And you like the slap on the back, and you like the feeling of the accomplishments and the big asher kavach, and you gave a shir somewhere, or a person, you know, davened really nicely, and the person did something really special. Between you and me, nobody else is listening. Between you and me, we all know that it feels nice to be complimented for a nice mitzvah. And to deny it would just be sheker. Even someone who is a gadol and, you know, learns Torah all day and does chesed, you feel good when there's a sense of kavod. You do. That's how Hashem has hardwired every single person in this room and every single person outside of this room. So when you do a big mitzvah, and you did it for the right reasons, and you wanted to do it for the right reasons, you wanted to do a chesed, if you tell me there was no sense of kavod at all, you didn't get any geschmack out of that sense of good job, thanks so much for that, it's hard for me to say that you're being honest. And therefore, says Rabbi Friedlander and says Rabbi Dessler, only the small things that most people don't care about are the only way to determine where you're holding in your Avodas Hashem. Small, individual, quiet, under the radar actions are the real measure of where you're holding and where you're going at the end of the day. So let's talk about some small things that perhaps people are careful about, people are not careful about, shall we? With your permission? Good? Writing a checkout sticker can be a big action, and it has a large impact. And people have their names on buildings. I'm sure there are many, many buildings on this campus right now that have people's names on. And whether you notice their name or whether you don't notice their name, I don't particularly care. But the point being that big checks to tzedakah are important. They help the world go round. And people should give tzedakah, kol hamarga, harezim meshubach. You should give a lot of tzedakah. But when you give tzedakah, it makes a big difference the way you give it. You have the opportunity to walk on Yerushalayim, another place in Eretz Yisrael. And for whatever reason, it was the Ras and Hashem, there are many, many aniyim in Eretz Yisrael, and many aniyim who are asking for your money every single time you go into the street. When you give that dollar, or you give that shekel, or you give that agurot, whatever it is you're giving at the end of the day, when I was in the mirror, so I was in, before I went to the mirror, so I was an American, and we used to come to Eretz Yisrael, family trips, things like that, so you're an American, you think that, you know, if you give anything like less than a dollar or five shekels, so then you're, you know, there's something wrong with you. And then when I got to the mirror and I realized that there's all these people coming up and down the aisles of the Spanish every single day and asking for tzedakah, and all they collect is agurot. All these bachurim are not giving out five shekel pieces or dollars every single time they come in, and agurot. And I realized that, you know, it depends, you know, how you do it and where you're doing it and what the situation is. But why is that important? Because you can give an ani on the streets of Mei Shar a $10 bill, and you can give it in a certain way where you don't look at them in the face, and you don't respect them as a person, and you give that $10 bill in a way that makes you seem annoyed and irritated and say, please go away, I'm talking to my friend. Or you can give 50 agurot or a shekel, and you can look that person in the eye and not make them feel like garbage and say, here you go, give them a smile, you know, a bracha ba'aslacha, let them feel good about themselves. Now, do they want your $10? 100%. I'm not saying they don't. But the way you give the tzedakah, the small detail of looking at the person in the eye, of giving them a shalom aleichem and smiling at them, is the way you are judged when you give tzedakah. It is not the amount in which you give the tzedakah, but it is the way you give that tzedakah as well. Small people get excited by big things. Small people get excited by big football games, which are here is coming up, big dinners, over-the-top public displays of chesed, big productions. Small people are inspired by big pyrotechnics, fireworks, displays of kavod and honor and things like that. Big people are moved by small things. An adam gadol is moved by the way he talks to a person, the way she looks at a person, the way she treats her parents or roommates when nobody else is around. Those are the things that move big people when it comes to small acts. History and life shows us the importance of small things. High-sounding values of isms that have fallen the way of Jewish history, Marxism, socialism, certain forms of Zionism, these big ideas that are not there anymore. People get so enraptured with big ideas and big movements, but they lose the value of small things, of being nice and kind and respecting elders and other people as well. And the Torah tells us that big ideas, great ideas, are only lasting if communicated through small things. And that's why the Torah is so preoccupied with small things. It knows that otherwise the big things that it represents, harmony, serenity, clarity, human perfection, society, will never be achieved. And therefore the Torah tells us repetition. Little things day in, day out. The small davening, and the small giving of chesed, the small way you speak to your roommate, and the way you call, you know, your grandmother before Shabbos. And those small things you do are what set the tone of who you are as a human being, and not the other things that people may notice at the end of the day. Make the same comment when it comes to intimacy. So Nirz Hashem, in the right time, we'll all be at your chasna. Okay? So when it comes to getting, when it comes to marriage and relationships as well, it's the same thing with intimacy. Any married couple where they only share intimacy and feelings and a sense of love by big events. They only talk when they go out to a big fancy dinner. They're only excited by big family affairs. Only when big gifts are given. And that's the only time there's a sense of connection. So that relationship, at best, is on the rocks. When you have a relationship that has to have public displays of affection and public shows of intimacy, but when they're behind closed doors, do they say please and thank you? Do you knock when you come into the room? Do you do small gestures and small notes and small messages to the person, to your spouse, that shows your interest? That's where real intimacy is built. That's where real relationships are built. In small, day in, day out, forms of kindness and love and small things like that. Relationships, their only intimacy is in big events and big show-stopping displays of affection and intimacy are in a difficult situation. And that's the same indication over here as well. How is your relationship with Hashem? How's your intimacy with the Kaddish Baruch? If your davening is consistent and it's in the morning and it's in the afternoon and you are doing the small things and you're saying a little bit of self over here and a little bit of learning over here and you are working on your emunah in small chunks and trying to develop, you know, 1 minute a day to think about Hashem, 5 times a day to think about Hashem, small things that just you and a Kaddish Baruch Hu know about, small little steps to develop that intimacy with Hashem, that's going to be the best relationship at the end of the day. If your whole relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu is from one kumsis to the next, and in between the valley of those peaks, like whatever, there'll be another kumsis, there'll be another fantastic speaker next week, and then I'll be inspired. And you jump from one island of inspiration to the next, and that's your entire Avodas Hashem, then that is big things. But what about all the small things in between that speaker and the small things in between that amazing tiyul that you were inspired by? What about all the things in between? Your Avodas Hashem cannot be going from one big thing to the next. Your Avodas Hashem needs to be small steps of consistency, developing intimacy and relationships with Hashem and those around you as well. We'll just tell three stories. Three stories about Nassim C. Finkel, who was the last past Rosh Hashiva of the year, and we'll end with one idea. We know that Chaim Shmulevitz, the famed Baal Sichos, Moser Rosh Hashiva of the year, had a very special relationship with Kever Rachel. Chaim Shmulevitz, in his stories, in his writings, in his Sichos, loved going to Kever Rachel and crying by Kever Rachel, calling out to Mama Rachel about the Jewish people and difficulties, and asking for Rachmanos and crying. It was a very emotional and a very big highlight of his time throughout the year and his period in Eretz Yisrael. And people often associate with Chaim Shmulevitz and Kever Rachel together. But says Nassim C. Finkel, I wasn't impressed by that. You know what I was impressed by? Every single time the Chayim Shalevitz wanted to go to Kever Rachel, he made sure to call his wife and ask if it was okay. A Bachra would inevitably say, you know, Rebbe, I'm driving to Kever Rachel, would you like a ride? And the Chayim Shalevitz would say, first I need to find a payphone. And then I need to find an asimon. Nobody here knows what an asimon is. An asimon used to be the old coins, used payphones in Aristotle, payphones, whatever. So it used to be these old coins. I have to find a coin to use the payphone, and I have to call my wife and call her. And then only after I tell my wife that I'm going to be a little bit late because somebody's offering me a ride to get a Rachel, only then will I go. Says Nassim Stefenko. That act, that small act of checking in with your spouse and making sure we're good and letting them know where you are, and calling your parents, let them know that you're going to be out late, and you're calling to check in on a friend that you haven't spoken to in a while, or calling a relative that perhaps you haven't had such a great relationship with in some time. Those small things are far more important than any trip to Kever Rachel, because relationships are built in those small things. Making a phone call, checking in, Kever Rachel is great, and what if you should go as often as you want. But if it's at the expense of somebody else who we're supposed to meet up with, it's at the expense of somebody else's relationship and somebody else's time, then the trip to Kever Rachel was meaningless. All of those big things need to be built on small daily interactions of kindness and respect and thinking of other people. Rav Nachman Tzifinkel once was interviewing Talmidim for Mir Brachfeld. There's Mir in Beit Sha'ar, and Mir has a different campus in Brachfeld. And he was sitting there in the room with the Bochim. There was the Rav Nachman Tzifinkel, Rosh Yeshiva Mir, and the Bochim, the rabbi who was actually giving the test. Rav Nachman Tzifinkel was hard for him to talk and to sit in this situation with his Parkinson's. So there's another Bochim, another person giving the test. People were coming in, they were asking questions, they were going out, you brought them into the yeshiva, not them into the yeshiva, whatever it was. And towards the afternoon, a young man came in, and he had a fair, he had a test, and then afterwards, Rav Nachman Tzifinkel said to him, he said, I don't think the yeshiva is right for you this man, I don't think we have room for you now, but I want you to come back to me at the end of this month. Come back to me in a few months, and let's sit again and see if you can take another test to get into the yeshiva. The boy said, okay, thank you so much, and he walked out of the room. So after all the bechinas were done, so the bochein and the other rabbi in the room turned to Rav Nachman and said, what was that about? There was only two options, yes or no. Yes, you got into the mirror, or no, you didn't get into the mirror. What's this, maybe come back in 6 months? So Nassim Sifet said, that boy did something that no other boy did today. When the Bachrim came into the room, they made a beeline straight for me and shook my hand. Says, wish me shalom aleichem. They sat down and we began the test. That boy, when he came in, not only did he shake my hand, but he shook the hand of the Bochim, the rabbi giving the test. And he noticed him as well, and he gave him a few moments of his consideration. He said, a boy like that, he may not be ready for yeshiva now, but he'll be ready in due time. There'll be a time when he's ready for this yeshiva, and I want him in my yeshiva. Because he noticed me as a human being, and he took care of him, and he made him feel like a mensch for 2 seconds. Unlike every other bachur who only saw the Rosh Yeshiva in the mirror and could care less about the rabbi next to him who was asking the questions. That means caring about small things, not worrying about only the Rosh Yeshiva or only the Rebbe at that time. One last story. Rav Nachman Tzifinkel, when he was by weddings, he once noticed at a wedding that there was a grandfather who was sitting on the regular tables by a lot of weddings, especially in the Haredi community, would sit on a dais. The chassan sits on the dais with his parent, with his father and father-in-law, and the rabbanim are there, the Rosh Yeshiva, all the rabbis are there. And he saw that the grandfather wasn't sitting on the dais. So he went over to the grandfather, and he said, Zaidi, he said, I saw you got a kibbutz by the chuppah. You must be the grandfather. You must be a very important person. So why aren't you sitting on the dais? Why aren't you sitting with the other rabbanim? So he said that, you know, there was no more, so I'm sitting over here. So nothing to be said, we'll take care of that. And he went, and he brought a chair, and he moved everything over, and he sat the Zaidi at the dais. Nobody else had to see that. Nobody else noticed. But he saw something small that nobody else was paying attention to, and he noticed that person that nobody else was paying attention to, and he took care of them, and he made sure that other people gave that individual the cover that they needed at the end of the day. And therefore, we have to understand that when it comes to not just things in life, we have to look at the small things, we also have to look at the small people that sometimes get stuck over and people don't pay attention to at the end of the day. And when we pay more attention, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, to the small things and the small people, then we're on the right path. We're on the right path that Hashem wants us to be on, and we're on the right path to get closer to Hashem and to build those relationships that really matter. I just want to end with a beautiful comment that I very, very much enjoy from Rabbi Eitan Feiner of the White Shul. Rabbi Feiner notes that if you look in all of the Gedolim biographies, they're all the same, right? I'm sure we've read a few Gedolim biographies in our few months here. Some, one, no? All for the Boss? We've all read All for the Boss by now? Yes? No? Okay, I hope so. We'll be doing a test later on. All for the Boss. So, Rabbi Feiner says, if you look at all of the Gedolim biographies, they're kamat all the same thing, right? Yushasim, he's 12, and he went to the yeshiva, his family had no money, his family had a lot of money, his wife was an Ashish Kyle, and he went to the yeshiva all the time, and he was a very big tzaddik, and he maybe went through some difficulty in his life, and he overcame it, and Shalom Yisrael, he got 120, and he was buried in Yerushalayim, and that's the end of the story. Fine. So, ask Rabbi Feiner. If I can write the biography, and you can write the biography, so what's filling those 500 pages, right? It's all the same story. If I blindfolded you and said, write a good Gadol biography about whoever, I'm sure you could fill in all the high points by yourself. No? You could fill it. So ask Rabbi Feiner. Then what is in all those pages if it's all the same thing? So Rabbi Feiner says, it's all filled with small stories about Gadol and doing small things. That's all the pages of the book. And this, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was nice to this person on his blog. And Rabbi Gifter was nice to this person in the hospital. And Rabbi Moshe was careful about the Almana who lived upstairs and nobody else was paying attention to. All the Gadol biographies are the same thing. They're filled with great people doing small things. And if you want to write your own Gadol biography, you must fill the pages with small things. Because if you just fill with big things, it's going to be a very, very thin pamphlet. They're not going to have much to read there. Your Gadol biography must be filled with small things. Small things in davening, small things in chesed, small things in Torah, small things for your parents, small things for your siblings, small things for your roommates, and small things for strangers that you've never met before, or strangers you've encountered a few times. And that's how you write a Gadol biography, and that's how you end up like Moshe Rabbeinu, taking care of the sheep and taking care of the small things. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, this is nice. If your audience is free to go, don't mind me, I'm not offended in any way. I have to leave towards Har Nof at 9:30. Any questions or any topics?